Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, we're going to come back to the Wisconsin governor race. Wisconsin governor race. You know, Foxconn, I've talked about Foxconn a lot. You may remember in the governor race back in 2018, I ran a lot of ads saying that Foxconn was a scam and we had to tank it. The scam and we had to tank it. And no one else agreed. And then it turns out it was a scam and we should have tanked it. It cost us $1 billion for site preparation and other things. And now we're out of it. Remember the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish? She was lieutenant governor to Scott Walker. He was the pigeon, the patsy who signed it. He has absolutely no conception of a business whatsoever. Didn't use professionals. Did it on a napkin for $4 billion plus to the Chinese, who claimed that they would make large screen TVs. Then it was small screens for phones. Then it was coffee makers, believe it or not, coffee makers. We're going to give $4 billion to a Chinese company to compete with what? The West Bend company here, who do it on their own nickel. Then he was going to do electric cars, really. We're going to give a Chinese company $4 billion to develop electric cars. In other words, insuring all their risks and their overhead to compete with what? Ford and GM. Yeah, really? That's what we were going to do under the Republicans? Well, I criticized it. Not only did the Duchess of Foxconn cheerlead for it with Walker, jumping up and down, shouting, "We're the girls from Foxconn High. We don't smoke and we don't drink." Okay. But Michaels, running against her, the major opponent, the Michaels company, made millions of dollars off of Foxconn. They built roads, they did construction for the site preparation, got paid handsomely, got paid very handsomely by the state of Wisconsin. So naturally, Michaels liked Foxconn. And he put out a statement several weeks ago where he said that Foxconn was a good thing and he would try to revive it. The Duchess of Foxconn said, "Wait a minute. I was for Foxconn before you were. You just made money on it. You were for it then, and I was too, but I did it without even making any money on it." And that's what the debate was. Now, just yesterday, Michaels did a 180. And now he goes, "I don't like Foxconn after all, and I'm opposed to it." You know, at what point? It's not just hypocrisy. At what point is there a rudimentary intelligence or understanding in the electorate of people who do a 180 on an issue that quick with a straight face? How much understanding out there is there? You know, we just talked about Joe Manchin saying that he tanked climate change. Remember that? The soft infrastructure with Biden? Because he has a $30 million stake in a coal company. $30 million stake. And he gets his money and his campaign from the energy industry. And then he gets roasted by constituents. And he goes, "Congress must do something." This is a day after he tanked it. Yeah, Congress must do something. Manchin, you are Congress. You are Congress, Manchin. How about the guys in Mississippi? Oppose COVID relief money. Socialism, socialism. Then they get it. And then they boast about it, put out a press release. You know, I, Representative Beauregard Plushbottom in Mississippi, have gotten $790,000 for my little corner. And everybody thanks him. They thanked him. And he didn't let on that he'd opposed it and called it socialism the day before. But we have this going on right now in Wisconsin. Michaels made millions off of Foxconn. The Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish, was the biggest cheerleader for it. He made millions. Michaels, the Duchess, says, "I want Foxconn again. We're going to give him more money." Michaels, you know what Michaels does now? Michaels goes, I changed my mind. I changed my mind. Come on, this is Wisconsin, guys. You're not getting it. We're going to the lines. Joe and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I don't mean to take you away from Foxconn, and I hope you will return to that discussion because it's certainly a part of our history and current day, obviously. So any more information we can get on that is always appreciated. But I was interested to get your reaction as a lawyer looking at some of the consequences of these decisions about abortion and how it relates to women getting particular pharmaceutical drugs that they need for autoimmune diseases, specifically rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. There's a drug called methotrexate that women are having a difficult time obtaining from their pharmacist because the pharmacist says, I can't give you that because it may impact the fetus. And they'll say, I'm not pregnant. Doesn't matter. You might be pregnant and not know it. If I'm going to get, heavy hands are going to hit me down because I'm giving you a drug, I'm not going to do it. So I'm having a difficult time getting this particular drug. But you were talking about hypocrisy. And I was reading a little bit about this, and it is, they say that if you want to have a child, that women should be off of this drug for 6 months before trying to conceive. But guess what? Men should too, because this drug can also affect sperm. So I'm interested in your reaction about where this may go as we head into the future. Could women not say, I should have every access to this drug if it can affect men in the same way in terms of damaging a potential child? So I'm curious what your thoughts might be on that, about how a woman could make a case to get access to this drug based on that particular fact. So I'd be curious to listen off air. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Excellent question. And let me tell you what, unfortunately, this whole thing is degenerated to. As you phrase that question, you know, whether there's an equal protection argument that it affects men and affects women and so on, the fact that we even have to descend to that kind of hair splitting on an issue when the larger issue is looming in our face, the short answer is absolutely it would be the law that if a drug would affect a potential pregnancy, whether taken by men or women, and it's denied to women and not to men, that's a clear violation of equal protection. I mean, there's no question about it. But I have a larger question. Why are we even, this is an abomination that we even have to get down to that. There is a state senator in Kentucky, forget her name, but I like her very much. She's a Democrat. And she listened to all this, and you know what she did? She put in a bill, and she did it tongue-in-cheek, and it's not going to pass, obviously. But it would require every woman in Kentucky once a month to file a report with the health commissioner swearing to her pregnancy status. And if she was wrong about it, either lying or mistaken, she could be subject to criminal prosecution. That went out over the air. Some people took it seriously. And there are people saying, I'm getting the hell out of Kentucky. Well, the problem is half the states in this country are like Kentucky. In Oklahoma, you have a law that kicked back in that does not make an exception for the life of the mother. Well, the doctor takes a Hippocratic oath. And if he has a patient with an ectopic pregnancy, what does he do? Send her to California? She can't afford to go to California, wherever she is, in Oklahoma or, you know, whatever neighboring state. Some of these states, Joe, are now considering laws to criminalize a woman's leaving the state to go to a state where she can have an abortion. That, just like the hypothetical you posited, which would be a violation of equal protection, that one's a violation of the Privileges and Immunities Clause. There is a general clause in the Constitution that says you have privileges and immunities, and one of them is to travel freely. That's why you don't need a passport if you go to California. That's why you don't need a passport to go to Illinois. That's why they can't screen you at the border and say, why are you coming to Illinois? If you can be criminalized back in Wisconsin, for instance, because you went to Illinois for a purpose they don't like in Wisconsin but is okay in Illinois, people are now talking about the Privileges and Immunities Clause as a defense. It is. Why are we even having to talk about that? What happened to bodily autonomy? Bodily autonomy, what is really happening in all this is that people in general, most men and some women, do not take women seriously. I mean, I hate to say that, that's what's happening. They do not look on women as equally like men to be protected in their bodily autonomy. They just don't. That is disgusting. And now we're arguing about equal protection and the Privileges and Immunities Clause. This is an abomination. You have an illegitimate Supreme Court with one justice rammed through in lame duck. It's not legitimate. I'm going to be talking about that after the break. Thanks a lot for calling in. The lines are still alive. Do not hang up. I see you on the lines. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789.